Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy. Welcome to our Monday night podcast. And I also want to welcome those who are joining us through Facebook Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this evening. And we have a very small group of people on board with us thus far. We have Brother Vernon Streeter, Brother Ronald Miles, and of course my partner, co-host, Satawi Jaheep. And I also seeing that Miss Joy Ford has just joined us as well. And so, but ladies and gentlemen, before we get started in our conversation about who you are or who you really are, I know that's kind of a twisted metaphor, so to speak, but I'll show you why and tell you why in a few minutes. And before we get started, Brother Satawi Jaheep, how are you tonight, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine. God willing, I'll be 70 next Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right, so Brother Satawi always brings us some positive news, and that's always a good the way to start your day, to finish your evening. But Brother Satawi, what you got for us this evening, sir?
Okay, as you know, every time we come on here, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. Remember Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. And the reading for the night goes like this. Let me find it. It's fucking, oh, man. December 12th. A good track record. Fame means that they're still feeling good. That quote is by Daryl Stingley, a former NFL football player who got paralyzed, who's also nowadays an activist for the physical challenge. Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis, first exposure to track and field beginning in eighth grade. Uncoordinated and barely trained, he suffered defeat after defeat. One evening he told his parents, both track coaches, he was tired of losing. His father replied, "A successful person is easy to start. Pathways are chock full of obstacles, only overcome by the persistence. By persistence, the snail reached the ark. By persistence, the great pyramids of Egypt were built, offering a civilization, a springboard to even greater knowledge. By persistence, African missionaries were able to survive long, trying periods before ever obtaining a convert. There has never been a successful man or woman who hasn't known the tough answers that only come through the hard lessons of persistence. But is there success without persistence? Yes, it's possible to achieve without persistence. But it's something like being a student who will never go to school, a soldier who will never join an army, a salesman without a customer, a sailor without a ship, a writer without a reader, a teacher without a pupil, a preacher without a prayer, a musician without an instrument, a doctor without a patient, or a bee without a hive. If you are to succeed, you must persist. The teenager had decided to quit school, saying he was bored by his lessons. His father desperately tried to convince him to stay with it. "Son," he said, "you just can't quit. History is loaded with examples of great leaders who remember because they didn't quit. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't quit. Booker T. Washington didn't quit. George Washington Carver didn't quit. And Willie Johnson didn't quit." "Who?" The son burst, and "Who in the world is Willie Johnson?" See, the father replied, "You don't remember him. He quit. You only remember those who persist. Today, when it comes to my goals, I will be easy to start, tough to stop. And we need to make sure we have that persistence as part of our fortitude." In the National Black Indian News, we've been around for 5 years now, David. So,
Yeah, around 6 to 7 years now, yes.
Six years. That's because we've been persistent. And we continue to be persistent. And now, you know, the paper's going global. And you're getting a lot of feedback from people in other parts of the world. So it's because of our persistence that we've been able to reach those goals and those plateaus. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
I appreciate that, brother. You know, brother, I'm glad you brought that message. Well, you always bring a great message. But, you know, our subject tonight is who you are. Who are you? Who are you really? And just listen to what you say, a preacher who don't preach and all of that kind of stuff. What about living without life? And unfortunately, a lot of us do that. And I can't really say too much about anybody else, but, you know, I talk about someone I do know a little bit about, and that's myself. I brought this subject matter up because I go through many changes. You know, I'm very inquisitive, especially when it comes to me. I wonder why I make this decision, why I do that. You know, I'm curious about, you know, what makes me tick. And then I also know that a lot of things we do today was rooted in us when we was young, when we was children. And as I look back over my life, when I was a little boy, I used to do things and just took life kind of thing. But, you know, I was a little on what you called, I had a great imagination. And I used that to the full. That's the only way I knew at the time. But as I became a teenager, I was totally different than what I was when I was a little boy. Then I entered adulthood. I ain't say manhood because I was still going through some changes. Adulthood in chronology age. But I was in a deep state of mind. I don't know what I was at that time because I was medicated myself so much. And I moved on with time, just like the rest of us. And then all of a sudden, I'm somebody else. And then I enter this day. And so to make a long story short, I'm constantly evolving. And one decade I'm this, the next decade I'm that. And so that, you know, and it makes me, that's why I ask this question, who are you? And you wonder why so many of us are confused. Because I was totally confused that who am I really? Is what somebody told me who I was? Because somebody did say, David, you're this, and I kind of took on that persona. And somebody said, David, you're that, took on that persona. But they was outside forces telling me what I am or what I could be or what I should be. But then you ask yourself internally, who am I? Who am I really? And that's why I want to ask some of you tonight, because we need a little bit of clarity. And I had my take on this, and I'm going to share with you about that. But I also want to bring some people up, because this is the type of podcast, ladies and gentlemen, where we're kind of interactive. There is no script. We don't write scripts or say this is, you know, we just write a title and we run with it. And that's the way we have been doing it. And I guess that's where we will continue to do it. But I do want to, before we get into the conversation this evening, I do want to recognize some people. You know, like Brother Satavi said, you know, we because we were persistent and we stayed true to the cause, we are meeting great and wonderful people along the way. And I want to recognize Lady J. She's on here with us this evening. She's doing some great and wonderful things with media. She does quite a bit. And I really want to welcome Mr. Ronald Miles, who joined us in our last publication, who's doing a great and wonderful thing in the East Baltimore area. This brother doing some strong work, you know. I'm hoping he can talk about it a little bit later on. Brother Vernon, who has his own TV network, and he also work with us with the National Black Unity Muse as well. And I'm trying to bring him on with some information. Then we have Mr. Neil Spencer. This brother, man, is about to do, he's already doing great and wonderful work, but he's about to launch something that is astronomical for the people in Texas. And hopefully he'll say a little something about that. And then we also have my new found friend, Brother Marvin, who I met about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I believe. This brother, man, has a great program that he's involved with. But I think he's a great person as well, because this brother, just like I, he's constantly evolving as well. And he is a new editor in the National Black Unity News as well. So welcome, my brother. I appreciate you. And then we have some other people on here because of the telephone numbers. You know, y'all can speak up and let me know who you are. I see a I know who that is. Miss Joy Ford. She's also an editor. She's a publisher, and she does a lot of great things. And she writes children books. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zoom call. And again, welcome to those on Facebook Live and those who are on Blog Talk Radio. And before we get started, I just want to remind people that this Zoom call is brought to you by the National Black Unity News newspaper, a newspaper that is by us and is for us. This is an extremely unique publication because there's nothing like it, and I haven't came across nothing like it yet. Even amongst our own black newspapers, we are totally different. We have a different type of concept. First and foremost, we are self-supporting. We don't rely on any outside sources to sustain us. Therefore, we are what you call freedom of speech. We don't have to look over our shoulders to see if our sponsors or our benefactors is checking in on us. And so that's why I say this publication is by us and it's for us. And another thing, too, we don't put down any group or race of people. Our purpose is to uplift us, black melanated people. And so we don't put that, at least I don't. And also, the National Black Unity News is a nationwide and beyond circulated publication. It's a physical copy, and then we also have the online copy, which is circulated all over the world. And so I'm so pleased that from the inception of this publication until we are currently, that we are now entering various countries, you know, around the world, and I don't think that we're going to stop anytime soon. I think we're going to expand our territory. But the last thing and the most important thing is that this publication come from not David Murphy, not Bill Gooden, or anybody else in the publication. It come by divine inspiration, and I have no shame about that. It's come from divine inspiration. And I was just one of those type of people who was obedient to the call. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is an issue with us, black, melanated people. There's not too much things wrong with us. Yeah, we have work to do. But a lot of people have issues with us, black, melanated people. Therefore, God has raised up people like David Murphy. And you, those who you're on the call, Lady J and so many other people around the world that is calling us together to unite, to support one another. Because if we don't, nobody's coming back to fix us. Nobody coming back to sustain us. We have to do this on our own. And that's the way God made mankind. He made every animal is to produce after their own kind. So we have to make a way for us and for ours. But getting back to, I just want to get that out the way because it's important to know who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with. And I'm going to ask this question to some of you. You don't have to answer. You know, like I said, it's interactive. You know, you have the power or the will to say yay or nay. But one thing about words are so powerful. And they don't come back void. You know, like I say, sometimes people could say words to your dad. There's been times that people have said words to me when I was a little child. And it affected me all the way up until my adulthood, until my senior life, until recently, until I had to learn how to break free from that. People have said things to you over the years. People have tried to define you. People try to do all sorts of things to you. But then again, if you like me, you try to define yourself sometimes. You know, if I ask you this, who are you? And I'm going to do that. I hope y'all don't get upset with me, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to start with Dr. Leroy McKinley. Can you unmute yourself, sir?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
All right. You know I like to pick on you, right?
No problem at all.
Okay. I pick on you, man, because you're a sharp brother. You're a very knowledgeable brother. And I have a great deal of respect for you, sir. And, but you know, if I ask you today, if I ask you to divide, you know, tell me who you are, what would you say to me?
Wow, that's a giant question.
Yes, it is.
First and foremost, I'm a man of God. That's where it all starts for me. That's my foundation. That's at the core of who I am. He is the head of my life. So I'm a Christian, God-fearing man. One, two, I believe that I am a intelligent black man. I believe that I am a speaker. I am an author, a author of words, if that makes sense to anybody. You know, I'm someone who is a lover of people, and more specifically, a lover of my people. My people, my community, as most, I believe most, if not all of us are on this, you know, on here tonight, we are lover of our community, of our people, first and foremost. And we want to see, you know, we want to see our people be who it is that we're called to be. And that's what I feel. And then I would say that I am an impact builder, which is what I use at the end of my name, the impact builder, which is where, you know, I seek after impact. How can I impact people's lives in such a way that they are better after they have an encounter with me than they had before they had the encounter with me? And where that comes from is the way that Jesus was. Every encounter that he had in the Bible, he changed someone's life. Now, there were only two people that he didn't do that for. That was the man that came to him and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Give away all that you have." The man walked away and said, "You know what? Nah, I can't do that." You never hear from that man again. And then the second one was the other thief on the cross. There was one thief that said, the first thief, which is the one I'm talking about, said, "Well, if you are who you say you are, then you can get us down from here." He was only out for himself. Mm-hmm. And then the other thief said, "This man has done nothing. Remember me when you are in paradise." And he said, "From this day forward, you shall be with me." That other thief was the only two people that I can recall, I might be incorrect, in the Bible that Jesus did not impact. He did not change their lives after their encounter with him than they did before him. So that's where that came from, the impact bill.
Okay, I appreciate that. Lady J, I know we had a long conversation this morning, and I'm so impressed with this young lady, you know, because she's been through a lot. And she got a lot on her plate, but she, you know, because God is preparing her. But you know, if I ask you, who are you? What would you tell me?
I would say that I'm a survivor. You know, I'm definitely a survivor. I am a person that does not give up. I don't take no for an answer, and I'm a person that believes in myself. And all of the gifts and abilities and talents that God has given me, I feel like, you know, there's nothing that I cannot accomplish. And so, you know, in describing myself, I just see myself as this person who is like a, you know, like a God warrior, you know, like it's like whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And since I've been walking in his will and in his way, like so many doors, like crazy doors have opened up. So, you know, that's what I would say who I am. And I would say survivor first because of going through all of the things that I've gone through in my life that were things that could have actually killed me. And so the fact that I've been allowed to survive and also have been restored, you know, I just call myself a survivor, a warrior.
All right. I appreciate that. Who can I pick on next? One of my favorite people. I love this brother, man, because his heart is on the front line, and he's been doing some things for many years. Brother Cliff, unmute yourself, sir.
Good evening, everyone.
Uh-huh. I know sometimes you be careful what you get on sometimes.
Yeah. That's for sure. That's for sure. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you one question. I've been asking people, you know, my subject matter tonight is who are you? Who are you really? And I want to, if I ask you to define yourself, how would you do that?
I don't know. No one's asked me to do that in quite a while. I guess the main thing I would just say is I'm a man. I'm a human being. I am, there's an old sports saying that says you are what your record says you are. Of course, now that's referring to whether or not you're a strong team or a weak team in terms of how many games you've won or lost. But I'd say the same thing goes with people. I can say that I'm an organizer. I can say that I'm a Pan-African activist. I can say that I'm a coalition builder. But if I don't actually organize people, if I don't actually build coalitions, if I don't actually embody the principles of Pan-Africanism, I'm just saying that I am, and I'm not actually proving that I am. So probably more than anything else, I would simply say that I'm a human being that does what he can and lets other people determine who and what I actually am.
All right. I appreciate that. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Mr. Neil Spencer, can you unmute yourself, sir? Okay. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. I know. But Mr. Neil Spencer, if you'd like to talk, you know, that's cool, too. If not, okay, I'm going to move right on, you know, until he come on. Brother Ronald Miles, can you unmute yourself, sir?
I'll do that, Mr. David.
Yeah, you're a brave soul. Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing exceptionally well, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you the same question I've been asking everybody else. How would you define, who do you say you are?
I say that I am a father, I'm a husband. I'm more spiritual than I am religious. And that I'm persevere in what I do. I feel that when I wake up in the morning, I'm given a message to do something, to uplift our people the best I can. Although you get quite a bit of rejection in that respect sometimes, it seems that it's a mission to me to continue on what I'm doing as far as uplifting our community. So, and I would say many times, I think of why I do what I do, I just think it's a missionary kind of thing for me to do what it is that I do. And that is having to see how we can uplift our people socially, economically, and politically, that we can enrich our lives by coalescing and consolidating our strengths. And there's no such thing as weakness, but I also look at areas of development because I feel I'm not an expert in anything, but I'm always willing to learn. That wraps me up, sir.
Okay, I appreciate that. And Ms. Joy Ford, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
And Ms. Joy Ford, she writes children books, and she motivates people. She does quite a bit. But how would you define, who are you?
God. I am a child of God. And I have lived to see many miracles that God has performed for me in this lifetime, that I can testify to all of them that they were miracles. And I would say I love to connect people to other good people. I've always been a person who loved to introduce myself to strangers wherever I go and talk with them. And I found that there was this one particular year, many people would just walk up to me and start telling me their life story. I didn't even ask them anything, and they would just walk up to me and start to tell me their stories. So I felt like God was sending these people to me for a reason, but at that time, I didn't really know what to say to them, but it was very everywhere I went. I mean, I traveled out of state, and people would just walk up, and at that time, my husband was like, why do you think these people keep doing that? And I really didn't know. But I love people. I am a mother, and I am a friend to many, a sister to many sisters, thanks to Cheryl T. Ricks. She has opened up my sisterhood greatly. And I am a person who is very creative. God sends all the creativity I have through me to share with the people. I write music on the piano. I write songs, I write poetry, and I have a poem that I would love to share one day when you guys have the time to listen to it. I write a lot of poetry, and I'm just very creative, a very creative person, and it's all because of God. I give all the credit to God, and that's me.
Okay. All right, Brother Baradin, who do you say you are, sir?
Hello, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, sir.
All right. Like everyone, I'm a child of God. I love you know, helping out wherever I can. I like giving of myself. And that's basically it. I'm a giver. I like to reach out whenever I can, you know, make connections or whatever. And I just like giving. I just like putting things together, organizing, you know, and, you know, just connecting the dots. That's the whole shebang.
Okay, I appreciate that. Brother Cortez Ransom, how are you, sir?
How are you? I'm good.
I know you are. Now, I was just asking people, you know, kind of define themselves. You know, in 3 minutes, can you tell me who you are?
I'm someone who's very, very spiritually grounded. I believe in a higher power, God, whatever. And everything I do is basically focused on the betterment, the empowerment, the unification of the Black community, the African diaspora. I'm also a very creative person. I'm in the arts as well. I'm an actor, a singer, a screenwriter. Director, songwriter, and everything I do again is basically focused on Black people and trying to portray us in positive ways that we should be seen in, and not the stereotypical things. I right now currently have my short award-winning film on a Black streaming service called Stream DMV, which is now available on there to be rented for just $3.99. I currently have a production coming up again, which was done back in July, about Otis Redding. It's an original play about Otis Redding. And I'm portraying Otis Redding. We also have a sister in the play that's going to be portraying Aretha Franklin in the play as well, because some people don't know that Otis Redding actually wrote that song, Respect. And he recorded that song first. A lot of people, which I was one of the people as well, I thought for the longest time that Aretha Franklin had written Respect, but Otis Redding wrote Respect. He also recorded it, and then she recorded it. So there's a scene in the play between Otis Redding and Aretha Franklin. We also have someone who's going to be portraying Sam Cooke as well. And that play is this weekend at Metropolitan United Methodist Church on 1121 West Lanville Street. And the show is Saturday at 3 p.m., December the 17th, and Sunday, December 18th at 4 p.m.
Okay, but look, brother, I was asking you, I appreciate you sharing all that information with us, and I'm going to let you bring that up a little later. I just want to get to the point, you know who people are.
I just wanted
to get that definition, because it's a reason, you know, for my madness sometimes.
Okay, well, everything I do is about Black people. It's about empowering Black people, and that's who I am.
I appreciate that. Brother Neil Spencer, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing. I had a long conversation with this brother. See, I talk a lot, as y'all know that. Brother Nelson, I was asking people, there's a lot of background. If y'all can mute yourselves, or I will. And please mute yourself so we can hear clearly. And Brother Neil Spencer, if I ask you this question and I ask you, say, who are you, what would you say to me?
He gave me time to think about it. I know everybody else, some people were on the spot, but I wrote down a few things that may describe who I am. I said, first of all, I'm an undiscovered masterpiece. I'm a sponge. I'm a motivator. I'm a late bloomer because I'm 68 and I'm just now trying to start a business. I'm a pastor, musician. I'm a giver. I'm a lover of melanated Black people. And I think we can all be successful when we work together. I said I'm a sponge because I'm soaking up every comment, every thought that was presented here. And it's helping me be a better man. So thank you all.
I appreciate that. Brother Satabi Jahi.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm a child of God. And
who do you say you are, sir?
Can you hear me, David?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. First of all, I'm a child of God. And I try to make sure that everything that I do in life is for the betterment of my people so that they can be found and be left in a more beautiful place than their life situation in terms of where they had heard and they found themselves. And I think to add to that, you know, another question is, besides who am I, am I all I ought to be? I think something else we can add to that, you know, that question. And I fight with that each day as I wake up. I ask myself the things that I'm doing. Is this everything I'm doing, is this all I ought to be? And how is that impacting not only my life, but the life of others and people that I interact with? Because I have a pretty vast network of people that I am a part of. You know, I do taxes and stuff. A lot of people, they count on me for their financial well-being. So I have to ask myself every day, not only who am I all I ought to be? And am I doing stuff for the betterment of my people and for humankind? Because besides who we are as Black people, we're also human beings, and we need to try to leave a better mark on this earth for the human family so that people will remember us in a good light, but also what do we bring to the world, because there'll never be another you. There'll never be another me. And we need to keep that in mind so that we think about our journey here on earth and how we impact what we do and how we do what we do. So that's about it, brother. I appreciate that.
I really appreciate that because you're hitting it. Brother Marvin, how are you, sir? Can you unmute yourself if you choose to?
How you doing, Murph?
I'm doing great. Now you heard a lot of people before. You asked them, who are they? Who are they? How would they define them? So how would you define yourself, sir?
First, thank you for this platform. There's a lot of powerful people on here, and I was just sitting back listening like, wow. But I can honestly just say, you know, I always said, who am I? I'm just Marvin. But who is Marvin? Marvin is kind. Marvin loves people. Marvin is a father. Marvin is a veteran. Marvin is an empath. So many people, it's like they're drawn to me and they will tell me everything that's going on in their life. For some apparent reason, I don't know why. When I used to work at work, they would just tell me everything because they knew that I wouldn't tell anybody else. So I'm a child of the Most High. I'm an ambassador for Christ. A lot of people have said that, you know, that they're here. And like the sister said, she's a survivor. I could have been gone 3 times. So it's a reason why I'm still here to help somebody else. We all have testimonies that basically is the inspiration or hope for other people. So as long as we stay aligned to who we are and whose we are, we'll always be a blessing to others. And
hey, bro.
That's who Marvin is.
That's powerful, sir. Thank you so much for that. Brother Rico, Brother Rico don't like speaking too much. I don't mean to be telling his business out there, but he would tell you that himself. If you choose to, sir, who are you, sir?
Good evening, everyone. All I'm gonna say is good evening. God bless everybody, and thank you.
All right. Well, I could help define this brother from my perspective. He is a man of God, and he is a servant, and he serves people. He has the business called God-given hand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you that for a reason. And the majority of y'all started off with the word "I am." I don't think it's strange, but because I am who I am, and but you know, I'm like I said before, I'm very inquisitive, and I just wanted to know how people define themselves, because when I try to define me, the best thing to describe me is I call myself a servant of servants. Because that's what I like to do. And a lot of y'all said some of the things that you do. And then a lot of y'all mentioned that there is a high deity that you recognize. And I'm always a student of David Murphy. You know, I want to know more about him, what makes me tick, and what is my purpose in life. I know what my purpose is now, but I found out some things a little deeper than that. And some of you are very aware of where I'm going. In this word, I am, there's a quote in the Bible that God spoke. He said, I am that I am. And that's kind of a strange, when people ask them, that's kind of a strange answer. But then, like I say, I'm so inquisitive, even from a child, I used to love science. I used to look up into the skies, especially at night, and look at the stars and see how vast it was. All of those speckles of stars. And then one science teacher told me that the sun and everything else, them stars are burning masses of gases, and they would say they were so large, and I couldn't even perceive what those numbers, how wide and how vast it is. And now, this current day, we have all types of telescopes and things floating out there in the universe, and now man is discovering things that this is just one tiny universe. There's black holes and there's universes among universes. I'm talking about, that now, you know, it's so vast that even the earth is nothing but a speck, a little teeny tiny speck when you compare it to the whole vastness out there. And if the earth is just a teeny tiny speck, then what that makes us, you know, and this earth, as far as we are concerned, this earth is huge to us, you know, but we ain't even like a teeny speck. But in any case, how do we fit in there? Some science would tell you also that everything, even out there in the universe, everything is made up of this one source's energy. Everything we see, you know, scientists on Earth say everything I'm looking at right now is made of energy. Even your cells are made of this energy. And we are part of all of this great vastness out here. And I also listen to, you know, like I said, I'm very curious about stuff, and I love to hear people points of views. And there's been many that I listen to who say things like this. You can be what you want to be. You can create your own world. You can create your own universe. You make the heaven. You make the hell. You have the choice to do this and the choice to do that. Some say that if you even summon things, if you think on things, all of this vastness out there, it's done. It's finished already. You know, we look at things as things are beginning. And they say, whatever you ask, and if you ask with the right mindset, with the right type of energy, those things will appear. Now, you know, like I said, I'm so inquisitive. I look around me, something, I got a light here, and I got a computer over here, door. And I look at all this stuff, and they say all this stuff is energy. But somebody, I'm looking around, somebody had to think on these things to make them come to fruition. And I can identify that, ladies and gentlemen, because one day I decided that I wanted to do a newspaper. But just a thought. But this thought kind of stayed on my mind. And then I started acting on it. I had no clue of how to do any of that at that time. But all of a sudden, step by step, just like going on a journey, these things started appearing. And next thing you know, it prompted me so much that I even went out and bought a typewriter. That's telling my age right now, but that's before computers came out. And I start doing a little research here and there. And then one day, I actually held that thought, that newspaper in my hand. And to me, you know, when I thought it, because like I said, I'm very quick, I thought how miraculous that was, because when I look back over it, it was just a thought. And a lot of you mentioned Jesus, a lot of y'all mentioned the deities and stuff like that. And I'm so inquisitive because the way we interact with one another, the way, why would somebody make a light bulb? Why would somebody make the switch? Why would somebody need to turn it on? You know, all this, you know, I'm just curious about all that kind of stuff. Are we just happen? Or there's an intelligence greater than us, which y'all call dead, some of you call God. And based on man and things like that, you know, like I said, I'm only a speck. I'm not ashamed to say, because even religion, you know, I look at it as because some people go this way, some people worship that way. And from my perspective, they are all sincere about how they do their thing, so to speak. And so, you know, I don't question it or this thing, because that's what they believe. But I do know, but based on my own experiences, especially lately, that when it comes to me, when I say, who am I? And what is my purpose in life? I think I'm kind of very clear on that, but at the same time, I used to listen to things like, you know, anybody remember the thing they had a couple of years back called The Secret? And they would talk about the thought, the pattern of thought. And like I said, everything you see, somebody thought about it, and then somehow, some way, it appeared. All the substance and stuff that they needed is already here. They just had to put the right ingredients together. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm going to ask you this, and those who don't mind jumping in. Because I personally, this is David Murphy. Who, when I say, who am I? You know, I can be what I want to be, but I choose to be. I can make my heaven and I can make my hell. And I do believe that if you believe strong enough, that in my infinite way of thinking, that I just don't believe my, this is just me speaking, that all of this just popped up. You know, just the fish do this and the birds do that and we do this. I don't think that, you know, I think because this is so bad in our intelligence, it's not, I think we're in an evolutionary stage, but I don't know. But like I say, I don't know what's out there. I do know it's a lot. You know, it's huge. But I think, you know, we was here. We was here from the beginning. I really believe that it's just that, you know, reaction and it just things are constantly evolving and time. If you ask people like, you know, like Brother Cliff, he would tell you that certain things about time. He would tell you certain things by scientific facts. He would tell you about a lot of things. But like I say, it's so much going on out here. But since we are here, ladies and gentlemen, we're here on Earth. We hear some, most of us here in the United States, and we have to deal with some serious issues because we have to deal with everybody else who have belief who are what they are. And we actually got people out here, ladies and gentlemen, that believe that you are lesser than they are. You got people out here that's willing to hurt you, to harm you, to kill you because of what you are. And so, you know, even though I think on all of these vast way out there and everything right now, but I have to get up every day and deal with this where I'm at right now on this planet in Baltimore City, Emerson Village. And I'm surrounded with all types of people, with all types of issues, all types of conflicts of thinking and stuff like this. So when it comes down to who I am or who you are, I really believe that we all like that, like the this energy I'm talking about. We all interconnected. All of us play different parts, and just like I look at my own body, with all of these energies and cells, and they say you got so many this in you, this that. But I wonder if my toes, which never met my ears, you know, they this is like universal part. You know, they don't have no connection to one, but what flows through us. And I, like I said, I'm so inquisitive about stuff like this, and I believe that's how we are. And I do believe there's an intelligence out there that's given to every man out there. And this is one of the reasons of all this vastness I was talking about, all this universe. And here, Earth ain't nothing but a speck. And all of these things, all these billions of people on Earth, how in the world did we end up here at this particular time, at this particular moment, for this particular reason? And I think it's fascinating. But at the same time, I believe there's a reason for everything. I believe there's a reason why you're here this evening, why you believe in the things that you believe in. As I said to you before, we are constantly evolving. I'm constantly evolving. Lady J was telling me earlier today, he started out one way doing this and doing that. Then a series of circumstances took her, and next thing you know, she had a series of strokes. And she went to this radio station, and things just start happening. And next thing you know, here she is, you know, as this something was predestined to for you. But nevertheless, she's here, and now she has the thought that it's not all about her. It's about us. Then I just heard Brother Marvin kept saying, you know, he's this, he's that, and people are drawn to him and things like that, you know, and yet he's here right now. Brother Cliff, spray so eloquent as he always does, but he has a mission in life too. That's why you see that diagram there, how he wants to connect organizations and stuff together. Why? You know, and bro, you know, I can just go on and on and on for each and every one of you. But yet we're here. And since we are here, and since we are here for a particular reason, And I rambled on because, like I say, that's the way the universe is to me. It's so much, you know, and I don't know what it is, but I do know one thing, this mission. And I don't think it's too much strain now because it happened too often now. Why God has drawn us together. And there's so many more people around the world, the planet, that has views the same way we are having. They see the same issues that, you know, throughout the diaspora, black people are going, just because of the color skin, and we didn't ask to be this way or anything like that. But since they say in the beginning of time, as man was put on earth, and I don't know all of these answers, but that's what we was told. But I do believe that since we are here, we have to pray for this time in our life, and our cycle of energy, that we have a purpose, we have a job to do. I don't think nothing just pop up for no reason. I think everything has a season for the reason, as I say. But since we are here, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to make this appeal to you, because that's why I asked you those questions. Who are you? And I think you are, from my perspective, I think you are soldiers in your own way. When I say soldiers, I mean that you are sent. You're on a mission. You heard my brother, Carl Teague, say he's down. Why? All the things he could have chose, but he chose to be not only, you know, he's acting, does all these things, but he's focused on black people. That's part of his mission in life. Dr. Leroy McKenzie, same thing. He could be doing so many other things, but for some reason, he's focusing on black people. And the rest of us, you know, we got brothers like Ronald Miles on here. He's over there in East Baltimore, and a lot of people, you know, of course, everybody know our history has been taken from us. But so much of our history, just in the few generations before us, has been wiped out. But, you know, we have historians like Brother Miles, who had discovered things. Even then, like my brother said, Brother Neil Spencer said, he just discovered some stuff about himself at 68 years old. He ready to start this and start that. Brother Ronald Miles would tell you something. He's older than that. And discovering things about his own backyard. And he's doing something about it. Brother Rico, and I can just go on and on and on. But the point I want to make tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in all of this vastness, all of this time periods, all of this energy that's floating around here, here we are with this synergy that we have right here on this call that started around 7:30. And yet, and we all have our purposes, we all have our reasons, but we have a couple of things in common. We want to help us to help ourselves. We want to help our people to be a better people. And just like all of this energy, you know, they say one cell begets another cell, and it just gets stronger, then it gets this, and go there, it goes on and on and on. And I believe that's what's happening to us. I believe that us, black melanated people, are coming together for a purpose way larger than ourselves. We are interconnected with one another. All of us have parts of the puzzle. If we start working together, you know, sometimes we need to take the focus off ourselves and focus on us. Yes, you play an important part, but at the same time, Lady J and I were talking about, you know, how rare it is for black people to be in media. Now, it's reported that we own less than 1% of the media, less than 1%. But yet, and most people know how powerful media is, but yet Lady J, and I would attest to this as well, how come, if it's so powerful, how come we, us black people, don't support media, our own media? Why is it that 90% of information that we perceive, and we know it's a lie coming in most of the time from outside sources about us, and yet we for some reasoning, we've been taught or whatever that not to like one another or support one another, but that's outside sources. But on where I sit at, I'm around people. That's all the type of people. Like I'm sitting around tonight. That's what goes on with the National Black Unity News, people who want to not only help themselves, but to help us at the same time. And so since we got this synergy, ladies and gentlemen, and here we are in December, this year is closing out, and we're going to move into another year. And And a lot of us on here, we in our senior citizen mode, or, you know, in that age bracket. And a lot of y'all, we got some young folks on here too. But at the same time, getting back to me, I have a sense of urgency. And each one of you are playing a part in that, whether you know it or not. Like those of you who are very religious, you understand when I say my steps are ordered. We come together, you know, for a purpose way greater than I could ever even imagine. But I do know this. When I say we have power, we had the type of mindset when I created that newspaper, just a thought pattern, because we can will what we want. I really believe that. We can make the changes if we want to. We can demonstrate, like Brother Cliff had on it, that will, if we put our mind to it, to really support. Now, Dave, like me, the Lady J was talking earlier, there's a lot of us who are so afraid of them their own selves, who may be critical of us, our own people I'm talking about, who want to tear us down, put us down. And, you know, because they still our brothers and our sisters, and I believe that hurting people hurts people. A lot of people just hurting and don't know what to do or how to do it. It's just giving up and giving in. And some people, you know, like I say, will hurt you because they're hurting. But for those of us who are conscious enough, that's on here right now. This is small, what, about 12 people on here. Is this, like I said, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I do know that each one of you brings something to the table. And as we move forward in this year and what we're doing, not in this year, I'm talking about tomorrow, I just want to make a strong suggestion to you. Because if you sit where I sit, you talk to the people I talk to. I'm talking about just the people on this group. I ain't talking about all the other editors in the National Black Unity News. Like I say, three or four of you I talked to today. And you shared a little bit of information with me. And it's clear to me that we're going down the same, we're on the same journey. And since we're going to be on the same journey, ladies and gentlemen, and my young brother, Carl Tate Ransom, you know, he get very adamant about this because it's frustrating to him, because he sometimes can't fully understand why we do this to each other. We don't support one another. We pull each other down. And I believe I kind of know why now, you know, because like I said, I'm so inquisitive about me and all the different stages I went through in my life. And then sometimes God will reveal to you about your brothers and sisters. And that's why it's so important that people like you who have that positive energy, who's willing to take a stand, and you can't do it by yourself. So collectively, that will that Brother Cliff have up there, I think we need to take that very seriously. I think we need to take the National Black Unity News very seriously. And what Lady J, Vernon, and all other media that we have on here, those who are authors on here, we need to take that very seriously. Because like I said before, words do not come back void. They land on somebody's ears. I did not know. Didn't know. I didn't know this, that the paper goes here, there, and everywhere. But it's getting in corners that I never had no clue. You know, Africa, Panama, England, all over the place. We don't, and they're taking this paper somewhere else. Lady J, the same way, people are taking her stuff, reading her stuff all over the world because it's on the internet. And Brother McKenzie, he does a lot of podcasting, interview a lot of people. And so we have all of this power amongst ourselves. And as we move up into this new year, ladies and gentlemen, as I'm compiling the National Black Unity News together now, when I say I'm very inquisitive and I do a lot of soul searching, and I believe my steps are ordered, I believe I'm sent by God. I believe I am God. When I say I am God, I'm a part of God. All this universe is God, as far as I'm concerned. And if we put our mind to it, we can do it. We can be shining examples of God by showing true love. And I think that's one of the most powerful forces on this earth is love. The elements, the wind, the rain, the ground, all that stuff is powerful. But we have to use it properly. And since we had this synergy, ladies and gentlemen, I tell people who work with the National Black Unity News, and like I said before on many occasions, that I'm a servant of servants. That don't mean I work for you. That don't mean I'm a slave to you. But I'm here I'm here to assist you, assist us to get us to where we need to go. Because when I do this and you achieve your goal, I mean, all of us, our people benefit from it the most. And since we are on missions here tonight and we can uplift one another, I just want to make this special appeal to you. There's a lot of things that's going to be coming forth in the next couple of weeks. And if you can, I need for all of you, if you can, to participate in most of these things that will be coming forth. Support my brother on his shows too. Before I ramble on any further, George Ford, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
You know, something just came over me. You said earlier that you had this poem that you wanted to share.
Yes.
Can you just say, I don't know why, but just share it for a moment.
It's called Something to Think About, and it goes like this. I am in school almost every day, and I like it when the kids learn in their own learning types of ways. But I'm not here for no foolishness, nah. I'm not here for no blah, 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 yelling or cussing or acting a fool. This is not home. This is a school. Paper and pencil are critical, yes. And I like my homework here on this desk. And I like my homework. I get emotional on this. I like my homework here on this desk. Things you'll learn, and that is for sure. But I got to stop for a moment. I got to stop for a moment.
Take your time, sister. Take your time.
Let me stop for a moment. I was really not really just ready just yet. Okay. Let me go back. I want to get this right. I'm going to start over, if you don't mind.
Wait.
Okay. I am in school almost every day, and I like it when the kids learn in their own learning types of ways. But I'm not here for no foolishness, nah. I'm not here for that blah, 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 yelling or cussing or acting a fool. This is not home. This is a school. Paper and pencil are critical, yes. And I like my homework here on this desk. I am here to help you succeed, so please let me know if there's something you need. Some things you'll learn, but one thing's for sure. If you're in my class, you'll never get bored. So open your mind and open a book and check out this knowledge, and then you'll be hooked. Hooked on the history you should have been told, that you come from kings and queens that were sold. Sold to places all over this world, because your mind is worth more than diamonds and pearls. Your mind is great and your body is good. So research and study just like you should. Many people have died for you and I. So please try to live your life with some type of pride. Your boldness and confidence may reap you success, but don't step on others to earn what you get. Step into your greatness and knowing your worth while fulfilling your purpose here on this earth. Be all you can be and then become even more. And then spread your wings and let yourself soar. Sky is the limit. That's what people say. But what are you going to do with your today?
Wow. How they doing? that was so great. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, you know, that the same thing with what you said just so eloquently in your poetry, your poem, is what I was trying to say all evening. That you know, this is serious. This is not a drill. This is warfare. This is life and death, what we are doing. We have the power to enhance people's quality of life. We have the power to alert our people, to inform them that there's a better way. We can do this together. And so all I'm going to say is this in closing. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Okay.
Now, I want you to share with people just one more time. You've done it many times. What is the purpose of that wheel?
The wheel is really just a graphical representation of what it is that we're attempting to build. The way it is set up, it is meant to represent at least the concept of what a cooperative coalition or a Pan-African cooperative coalition would be. Most organizations and even coalitions of organizations, when they come together, they tend to do one of two things. They will either come together and attempt to establish a preset hierarchy, or you have one person who is in charge, and then you have another group of people who are perhaps next in line, and then everyone who joins on later on is basically just joining on to follow. And in many cases, they wind up subsuming their own particular missions to whatever it is that the leader of that particular coalition is attempting to push on them. Another way that coalitions tend to form is by just getting a bunch of people and putting them together in a room and saying, well, we're just going to bring you together and unity will happen. And I've seen that strategy used also. And oftentimes that doesn't work either, because what happens is, and if you've never had a dog like a Rottweiler, then maybe you don't quite understand this. But I mean, I had one about 9 years ago. And the thing about a Rottweiler is that when it comes into a family or a home or a pack, it's going to look to see who the leader is. If there is no established leader, then that dog will essentially apply for the job. So when you just bring a bunch of people together, so some dogs do need a structure already. But what happens is, it seems that when we bring our organizations together in a coalition and there's no plan, there's no established hierarchy, but there's also no plan, there's no established strategy for how that coalition is going to work, then what will happen is they'll start jockeying for position with each other, and you wind up with something that bears perhaps some resemblance to the doors of Walmart opening on the morning of Black Friday. And, of course, what happens when the doors of Walmart open on Black Friday? All these people who have jammed up against the door, they go rushing in, and they're competing to see who's going to get the goodies. And as a result, someone's face gets stepped on and somebody gets knocked over and a whole bunch of things get broken. And at the very least, the people who succeed, they usually get away with some stuff and they feel happy about it for a while. But after a while, they come to realize that what they got really wasn't all that big a deal. And the other people who didn't have an opportunity to obtain the things that they had gone into that store for, they go home disappointed. So what often happens when you just bring a group of people together, don't have a plan and don't have a structure, is they start to jockey for position. I've seen it happen in a couple of Pan-African United Fronts that they called themselves, where two committed activists who for some reason or another had some kind of a disagreement, whether it's a personal one or a philosophical one, next thing you know, they're in each other's faces. And they're getting ready to start a dust up. And the last time I saw that happen, that was the second meeting of that Pan-African United Front, and there was no third meeting. It basically was over at that point. So what we're attempting to do is we're attempting to essentially set a structure. We're not trying to set who's boss, but we're trying to set some, I'm not say a structure, but a strategy. The strategy is that we want to make it a point that everyone has an opportunity to essentially pursue their particular mission,
everyone has an opportunity to have their voice heard in the coalition, and no one is going to be elevated to a position above anyone else. And the way that I attempted to graphically represent that is through this symbol. And if you look at this symbol, there are 12 what I call, well, there are 12 points around Africa. Africa is the, is, I'll call it the hub. And there are 12 different types of organizations: culture, spirituality, grassroots, educators, legal, media, political or state builders, business, science, health and wellness, international organizing, prison outreach, and revolutionary Pan-Africanism. I know there's more, but I can only think of 12 at the time. And I also started running out of room. So they are stationed along the rim. The hub, or the fulcrum, the focus in the middle, where Africa is, represents a free, self-determining, prosperous Pan-African world at peace with itself and at peace with its people. And the green lanes, shall we say, I'll call them that for right now, linking each of those 12 points on the rim to the central hub are what I call the spokes. So if you look at it, if you draw a line, all those 12 different types of organizations, I won't put a specific organization up here because that would be way too many, but all those 12 different types of organizations are on the rim. You have your hub in the middle, and then their missions to achieve their version of that mission of a free, prosperous, self-determining Africa in at peace with itself and its people. Those are the spokes. So as a result, I call it spokes of the wheel. Another reason why I call it that is because if you take a look at any bicycle wheel, it has the same thing. It has a hub, it has a rim, and it has spokes. And as long as that rim is straight, that hub is well positioned, and those spokes are all strong, that wheel will roll and it'll carry you wherever you want it to go. But if you start breaking those spokes, you get out a pair of wire cutters or something, and you start breaking those spokes, what's going to happen? Your wheel is going to begin to bend, it's going to deform, and ultimately the wheel is going to collapse. And then you'll be stuck on the side of the road wondering why all the other people are riding past you. And quite frankly, that is too often what we wind up doing. We come together in these coalitions or in these groups, and next thing you know, one person is dogging out another. The revolutionary Pan-Africanist is saying that the business owner is just a capitalist, and so they're going to abuse the people. Or someone else says the revolutionary Pan-Africanist is nothing but a terrorist. And then someone else will say that the cultural artist, well, they're just a dreamer. And someone else will accuse the spiritual art activist because they don't happen to believe in the same version of the creator that they do. Other people will dog out the grassroots activists because, oh, well, they're just folks from the street. They don't know nothing. And then the teachers, well, they're looked upon as educated fools. The lawyers are looked upon, using the old Shakespearean line, kill all the lawyers. The media are sometimes looked upon as the brainwashers of the people. The political and state builders are looked upon as corrupt. The international Pan-Africanists look upon as people who don't really care about what's happening with the people on the ground at home. So there are all of these ways in which people start to essentially rip each other apart. And those are among the things that we want to avoid in terms of bringing people together. So part of the idea is to make sure that all of these different aspects of our community have an opportunity to make their contribution and to essentially put forward ideas, projects that all of us can do together. And we look at even at history, and we take a look at what has happened when we have attempted to basically pursue just one of those avenues. I think I've said several times, four of the most dangerous words in Pan-African organizing are I have the answer. And so you have someone who says, well, economics is the answer. To me, Black Wall Street proved that economics is part of the answer, but it can't be all the answer because they succeeded on the economic front, but then they were destroyed by a military-style attack. And the same with politics. You say, oh, political organizing is what we must do. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we have to politically organize. But if you take a look at Wilmington, North Carolina, 1897 had a progressive fusion government. Back then, the Republican Party was the progressive party. The Democrats were the reactionaries. They were the party of the Klan back then. And what happened? You had people of African descent and progressive whites had formed a progressive fusion government in Wilmington, North Carolina. Great political organization, great political accomplishment. White terroristic reactionary violence destroyed what they had put together. And even the Black Panther Party, which had a combination of political education, community armed self-defense, free breakfast program, and a number of other survival programs for the community, were destroyed by a combination of infiltration, media demonization, and simultaneous prosecution of Panther leadership from coast to coast. And they didn't have enough lawyers to be able to defend them in court. And as a result, you wound up with over 100 political prisoners coming out of that campaign. So we need to have all of these aspects of struggle, of advancement in our community if we really want to advance as a people. It's not that the Panthers idea didn't work. It's not that Black Wall Street didn't work. It's not that Wilmington, North Carolina didn't work. They worked perfectly. But the reason why they failed, despite the fact that they worked, is because they were working alone. And we can't afford to continue to work alone. That's basically what this is about. It's about creating a means by which, regardless of who has the loudest voice or the most compelling voice in the room on any particular day, to make sure that we have all of these aspects of our community together in the room, working to build a comprehensive and cooperative strategy. That's why I don't call it a united front, because whenever we call it a united front, it seems that someone comes along to disunite it as quickly as we created it. So instead, I call it a cooperative coalition to emphasize the word cooperative. So we've been doing this course. Now you've been perhaps the greatest supporter of the whole thing. And we've been meeting since January. We just had a meeting December 7th, last Wednesday. And I apologize. It's going to take me a little longer than a week to get the minutes out because I've been bouncing around a little bit since that meeting. So myself and my slow typing behind are going to take probably a little bit more than a week to get the minutes out to everyone. But it is my intention to get all that out. And hopefully as we continue to make some progress, more and more people will become interested in what we're doing and we'll get involved.
Okay, now I appreciate that. Now I'm just going to share something with you. Now Cliff, you know, the National Black, before I seen this concept that he just shared with you, we had the comp before I seen it personally. When I say the National Black Unity Muse come from divine inspiration. I don't know where Cliff, you know, why he did it this way, why he chose it this way, but that's almost the same concept of the National Black Unity News. We have so many disciplines, so many people in so many different areas that come together. The paper is just but a hub, and this is what you call a collaboration. That's why I say it's different from every newspaper out there. We have so many people to come from different angles in this, that, you know, and that's why we are able to sustain ourselves. Because we have supporters like yourselves on here. They come from different walks of life, different programs, even different ways of believing. We have Muslims, brothers, Christian brothers, every type of brother on here. But at the same time, we are working together for a specific purpose. Yes, you have a purpose that you want to achieve. But but collectively, wherever this publication go, whoever takes it there, you taking the whole team, you taking that whole circle with you. And so that's the power of us. And if we must continue, because like I say, this will, the publication, the media service, our financial service, our entertainment arena, our authors, everything. We need every man, woman, and child. So like I say, this is not a drill. This is serious warfare. This is life and death. Our economic components on here. Mr. Neil Spence was talking about earlier with his plan. Do you know he has a plan to keep businesses open, to be recognized? That means that, you know, if you go down on a deeper level, that means that when a business sustains itself, usually they hire someone that look like us. And then usually if you hire somebody, you help putting food on their table, help provide education for their children. So, you know, everything we do have a long, a chain reaction behind it. And before I get ready to get off of here, let me just say this to you. Because of you, those who are participating, who's going to participate, those who are new, those who've been with us from the inception, like Brother Satavi on here. Then we traveled many roads. We met a lot of people along the way. Some came for a season. Some came from other reasons. But, you know, nevertheless, the paper continued on. And now we're going to places, like I said, that I never even thought they would go, but it's there. But on this journey that we're on, if we do what we need to do, of course, for ourselves, but like Mr. Spencer is doing, with all of these resources that we all possess on here, we all of us possess it. We all have our own networks. And if I told you my networks, what I do personally, it's a large network because I've been out here for a long time. But Brother McKenzie got a large network. So do my brother Cliff, who just shared with you. He got networks all over the world. We got my brother, Brother Satavi, Brother Ron Miles. He is involved with more than just what's going on in East Baltimore. His brother been around for a while. And so, like I say, we have some serious people. And this is only a very small group of us. And let me say this to you. When I got some calls from some people, even Brother Cliff took, I'm going to use this brother for example. Brother Cliff was just over there in Panama. Brother Haki was just on here, but after he went off, they both was in Panama. People, two different organizations, two different individuals, but they end up there in Panama. And they shared the National Black Unity News with a brother over there from Panama. And me and this brother have been in conversation for some time. Now he's coming on as an editor in the newspaper now. And I asked him today, I said, what do you actually see in the National Black Unity News? And he went on to say that because, you know, they take very strongly to Marcus Garvey. And one of the main tools he used was a newspaper. See, they understand the power of newspaper. And unfortunately, a lot of people can't put out the news the way we can. A lot of people in certain countries have some restrictions on what they can do and how they can do it. But, see, he said, you know, what he saw was a host of black people who, like Brother Cliff just mentioned, has come together and put this media source out there. And they've seen plenty of black newspapers. They've never seen one the way God designed this one. First of all, even on the front page, I tell people, it's 14 black people on the front page. And that's in most, I'll be honest, in most newspaper print, you can see that many people in the whole newspaper. But this is on the front page. And then when they start flipping through the page, they see all these individual disciplines. And then, like I said, this last issue was 60 pages. And they got all of these different people with different, all these different angles that they come from. But one thing they did see, they saw people talking about us, uplifting us. They saw articles about I'm here to help you, to help us. This ain't all about we're here to help each other. And that's a powerful message alone. Just that alone, just seeing that. And like I said, I don't know where we're going to end up at, but I do know this. We have already made an impact. We could continue to do so. What we are doing is again, that's why I asked that question earlier, who are you? I kind of know. I had this thing called discernment. I kind of know who you are. And I know why you're here. And all of you are on a mission. And you finally, we all recognize we need each other. And like that spoke to the will, this is what's going to keep us rolling, keep us moving, going to uplift our people, and finally can hear from us about it. We're not tainted. We're not brought. We're not kept by no one. It's up to us now. This, we can call our own shots. We can do what we do. All of us have our networks. And I'm encouraging you from this point forward, because this is serious and it will take serious people. And I want to just give another shout out to Sister Joy, for that was such a powerful poem that you wrote, or poetry, whatever you want to call it. It was so powerful. And I can see why you get choked up on it, because that applies to all of us. And I appreciate you for that. And see, this is the kind of talent that we have in this publication. Like I say, ladies and gentlemen, if you see the talent that God has assembled, not David Murphy, God assembled this. And it's for a reason, like I was talking about this vastness of this universe, this publication and what we are doing with it and the individuals in it. That's how vast this thing is. I don't know how far it's going to go, but I do know it's going someplace, and I'm going down with it, and I'm going to be with it. But in any case, before we shut this thing down, this is interactive. You know, that's why I like to do interact. That's why I call on people. You know, it's not like I'm just going to do all the talking, which I do most of the time anyway. But anybody has anything going on would like to share with us before we go off of here, because what you do is extremely important. And when the doors open, it's time to walk in. You know, because people are listening to us. Like I said, we got people on Blog Talk Radio. We got people on Facebook Live. And throughout the week, this podcast will be circulating. And so anybody, you know, before we close up, anything you want to share, something coming up, brother Cortez, you can share a little bit more about your event that's coming up, if you like, sir.
Hey, everybody. I have a show coming up this weekend at Metropolitan United Methodist Church at 1121 West Lanville Street. It's an original play called Otis Untold. It's about the legendary singer, Mr. Otis Redding. Also appearing in the play will be a sister by the name of Christian Harris, who's portraying Aretha Franklin, and another brother portraying Sam Cooke in this play. And it tells a lot about Otis Redding's life and the situation with the airplane that ended his life and all that, and just a lot of different information that people don't know about him. And it's a celebration of his music. And that's, again, taking place at Metropolitan United Methodist Church at 1121 West Lanville Street on Saturday, September, this coming weekend, Saturday, December 17th at 3 p.m. and Sunday, December 18th at 4 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door, and they're $25. There's also an online link if people who want to purchase online, which I can leave in the chat. We definitely would appreciate your support. This is for my Black Theater Company. This is our first production that we've done since the pandemic happened 2.5 years ago. We did it for the first time in July, and this is us bringing it back. There were people who said that we should do it again, and there's actually some people who came the first time that's coming back to see it again. So that's a great compliment that people want to come back to see it again, but we need more support for this show, definitely. Would appreciate everybody to come out.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. Brother Miles, you got your hands up, sir. Unmute yourself, sir.
Oh, yeah. To let everyone know that anytime one mentions Chick Webb, they think of him as a musician, but not him as a philanthropist. This is the 70th year of Webb Memorial Recreation Center that I've been pushing now for the last 5 years that the city had disinvested in. It's actually a memorial. This is the only recreation center in the country built by nationally known black people that included Joe Louis, Ella Fitzgerald, Jackie Ma Maybe, Ink Spots, and others. This is a history that folks here in Baltimore, not only East Baltimore, but West Baltimore did not know. And so this is our opportunity to elevate the presence of that particular recreation center, not only for East Baltimore, but for the nation. Nowhere else in the country that a center was built from the ground up to support our black community back in the 1940s. This is the 75th year, and with the council, RJY Chicweb Council, we're celebrating the entire year, elevating the story and the history of that particular center. I tell you, if you have not heard the story, it is so important. I believe that this particular center is as big as the African American Museum, because when you have all those particular performers who came to Baltimore in 1940, filled up the 5th Regiment Armory with 7,500 people. We built the recreation center from the ground up. And here in Baltimore, we did not know the story. And this is what I'm doing and what the council is doing, is educating. And we're looking at celebrating the entire year. I'll be at the UB Blake Center with Ujima and doing the presentation there. It's going to be, I forget what date, let me see what date that is. That would be, the 28th at 1 o'clock as the Ujima the Ujima celebration at the UB Blake Center. But educating, not only locally, but nationally, the importance of this Memorial Recreation Center built from the ground up by the black community of Baltimore. That's all I have to say today. You can go on my website.
All right. Put it in the chat room, brother, so people can get contact, because this is a national project, and it has national significance to it. It's historical for us. You know, it's important to see that many blacks. See, back in them days, all of those major stars came together. And see, that's what they can do when we can come together. And during that specific time, just think about that, the significance of that. Powerful stuff. Brother Cliff, you have your hands up, sir.
Yes, I just want to let people know about a couple of things that are going on this week. And I don't know whether there are things that necessarily I would say this is a call for people to support, just for people to be aware of. There are two U.S.-Africa-themed gatherings happening in Washington, D.C. this weekend. One starts tomorrow, the 13th, and the other one starts on Wednesday, the 14th. I'll do the second one first, because Brother Akib was on here a little while ago, and being with Teaching Artists Institute, and I know Teaching Artists Institute had been spreading information about this one. It's the U.S.-Africa Trade and Investment Forum, and that's going to be at the Kempton Hotel Monaco in Washington, D.C. I have no idea where that is. But it is on December 14, 15, and 16. I have heard somewhere that the registration for that is pretty pricey, but it is apparently, according to this flyer that had been put out, and Sister Kim Poole had distributed this over their WhatsApp page, says connect with a trusted network of 100 plus high level African government leaders, investors, CEOs, and senior executives of U.S. and African companies while discovering new business opportunities. So basically, it's as much as anything, it's a business and economic type of a forum. So I have no idea what kind of plans are going to come out of that. Now, another thing that is also happening same week, strangely enough, is the U.S. African Leaders Summit. That actually starts tomorrow. U.S. President Joe Biden has apparently invited, or some people would say summoned, African leaders to Washington, D.C. to discuss African policy as it relates to U.S.-Africa foreign policy. So they're going to be engaging in a number of meetings and discussions, and I think some of the forums are even open to the public. I don't have the specific information here, but if you want to find out more about what they're doing,
And I always think it's a good idea to at least know what they're doing, whether you go or not. I may be in D.C. a couple of days during the summit because some friends of mine are coming, one from South Carolina, and I think Professor David Horn may be coming in from California. Not sure yet because he's not 100% sure. All the information isn't very clear. But it's always a good idea, I think, to know what the leaders are doing, whether you're into politics or not. I always think it's a good idea to at least be aware of what kind of moves these folks are making. Sometimes there are moves being made on behalf of grassroots Pan-African communities, and sometimes they are not. So that is something else that's going on tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Saturday, there was what was called a People's Intervention that was done by the Global Pan-African Movement, or GPAM. I've never heard of them before, but this People's Intervention was held on Saturday at Howard University, and I didn't find out it was on Saturday until Saturday morning when I'd already committed to something else, so I wasn't able to go. But I'm hoping I can find someone who actually was able to either attend in person or virtually who can provide some information on what actually happened at this People's Intervention. I think the idea of it was to provide a perspective on the what was then the upcoming U.S. African Leaders Forum or African Leaders Summit, so that folks in the grassroots and especially revolutionary Pan-African communities would be in a position to either pressure or protest or in some other way or another maybe influence or resist some of the decisions that were going to be made or are going to be made at this U.S. African Leaders Summit. So those are the things, the big things that went on starting on this past Saturday and are going to be continuing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week.
Okay, I appreciate that. And by the way, tomorrow night, Sister Kathleen Murphy, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
We will have our regular call on Tuesday night at 7:30, so I'll send out the link tomorrow. We encourage everybody to get on there. See, this is so important that I call you family members, that y'all get to know one another. But sometimes you have to show up because some of the things that you need to get you going to, as to what you're doing, these are some of the folks on there that can help you get there, but you have to show up. So I encourage everybody to show up. And also one of our editors, Donetta Morey, will be hosting, and I will be co-hosting with her next Saturday on a Zoom call. This thing is astronomical. It's worldwide. She's doing something in the wellness, health, fitness, and all of that stuff combined. You know, and so we will have an opportunity to identify all types of disciplines in the health and wellness industry, people who can give seminars, workshops, get your second, third, fourth opinion. People will be hosting seminars, workshops on our well-being. Without our health, you know, we don't have anything. And it's going to be, if anybody has businesses or services related to that, I will just contact me and I will send you the link to it, because health and wellness come in many forms. We're talking about mental health, physical health, all sorts of types of things, you know, discipline, supplements, everything will be, you know, it's going to be on this website. So it's a powerful, powerful thing. And anybody else before we shut this thing down? And because, like I say, when the door is open, let it in. You know, anybody else before we shut it down? All right.
David, can you
okay, would that be? Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, April 19th to the 23rd, you got the State of the Black World Conference coming up in Baltimore, hosted by Institute of the Black World 21st Century. People can go to ibw21.org and register for that. And it's going to be powerful. People will be coming in from all over the world, and Marcus Garvey's son will be there because they're honoring him, and which is, you know, a powerful thing. But State of the Black World Conference coming up April 19th to the 23rd. Go to ibw21.org to register for the conference and get more information.
And you say you coming up for that too?
Yeah, I'll be coming up.
Okay, let me know. We can talk about that, okay?
All right.
All right, you know, so, you know, as you can see, it's a lot going on, a lot of people doing a lot of wonderful things. The dots are being connected with or without us. But, you know, we're doing our thing, and hopefully we're doing our thing because we're involved with a lot of national and now international organizations. And by the way, Cliff, Brother Cliff, I talked to Great Blacks and Whites, Dr. Joanne Martin.
Oh, great. Okay.
And they're coming on board as well.
Cool.
You know, so, see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, you know, bring people in and introducing us to each other. And so all I can see is that, you know, the wheel is turning. And,
yeah, I need to get in touch with her, as a matter of fact. I need to get in touch with a few folks. So.
Okay. And so I want to thank everybody for their time this evening. I know sometimes we be long-winded, but it's important that we come together because this is we have a plan, and we have plans to be even started. Like I say, and by the way, before I shut this down, Brother Neil Spencer, if you know of any black businesses in the Texas area, please forward it to me or Mr. Neil Spencer because he's getting ready to kick off a major thing of uniting those black businesses in Texas. And so this is what I'm talking about. See, we're going to have spokes all over the place, and then that one spoke will be, like I say, is going to be part of that big wheel. And so I'm a visionary, and I just see things just like a part of a puzzle. You're just coming together. We got people stepping up, stepping in. And, you know, man, we doing it. I see more activity than I ever saw in my lifetime that's taking place now because I think we finally realized, like Brother Cliff said, we cannot do this thing by ourselves. You know, so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of them. I bid you all a pleasant good night and hope to see you tomorrow night. And the paper is due, and if you got articles need to come in or material to come in, start sending it to me because we're getting down to the wire. You know, so I appreciate everybody. And Mr. Marvin, I'll be talking to you tomorrow about your page.
Okay, brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, sir. And y'all take care. God bless.
All right. Good night.
Goodbye.
That concludes our broadcast tonight on Blog Talk Radio. Catch you next week, same time, same station. And we'll be celebrating my 70th birthday. And, hey, didn't know I'd see this many years. But thank God. And that's all I can really say about that. And talk to you next week. Good night.